This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to week three of the official Raider podcast of the regular season. I'm your host, JT, and Raider Nation, how big was that win? Coming off the victory against the Baltimore Ravens at O.co Coliseum last Sunday, an instant classic, the final score 37-33, a much-needed win for the Silver and Black to split their first two games at home and get back to the winning ways. What a game, a game that the Raiders led twice by 10 points in that game, but it came down to the final drive in the fourth quarter, and Derek Carr was up for the challenge.
Shotgun snap from Hudson to Derek Carr, looking left, throwing, Carr! Touchdown! Raiders! Seth Roberts wide open over the middle!
Incredible touchdown by Carr and an incredible performance in that game by all the wide receivers. Not only Roberts on the game winner, but how about Michael Crabtree? 9 receptions for 111 yards and 1 touchdown. And Amari Cooper, who gets most of the media attention, not only locally but nationally, deservingly so. He was the 4th overall pick in the draft. He had 7 receptions for 109 yards and 1 touchdown. Latavius Murray will join us. He's our Raider guest coming up in a few minutes. He had 15 carries for 65 yards and a touchdown in that game. Latavius will join us coming up. But congratulations to Jack Del Rio from Hayward, dreamed of being a Raider or the head coach of the Silver and Black, and now Jack Del Rio had his first win, and a lot of it had to do with the great play of Carr, who threw for 351 yards and 3 touchdowns.
The head coach and the quarterback are tied, only 2 guys in the organization that are tied directly to wins and losses. And to see our quarterback, our young quarterback, take our football team down there at the end, that was special.
Again, congratulations to Jack Del Rio and his entire staff. After the Cincinnati game, they were under the gun to get a win. The Bay Area media, even Raider fans who listen to this podcast, wanted that win badly. And to beat a quality team like Baltimore, spent a lot of time, and we'll do it talking about Cleveland coming up here, about the physicality of the AFC North. The Raiders in the fourth quarter were physical. They got stops when they had to. That Nico Thorpe interception to ice it was beautiful. And no matter what the score was, the Raiders needed a win, and they got it at home. Now the Silver and Black go out on the road to take on the Cleveland Browns this Sunday. And this is a big game. All week long, the quarterback controversy about who's going to start. Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, made the decision to go with Josh McCown.
Josh was cleared by the independent neurologist this morning, so he's 100% cleared, return to play. And he's done everything that we've asked of him in the offseason so far this year. You know, he'd earned the right to be our starting quarterback. We feel that that he gives us the best opportunity to win on Sunday, and that was truly the basis for the decision.
And I think, I'm one of the rare guys, I think it's a pretty good decision for him to go that way. That was the quarterback that they wanted to go with throughout the OTAs and training camp and in the preseason. He got concussed in the first game against the Jets. He deserves the opportunity to come back and get his job back. The problem was Johnny Manziel threw 2 really dramatic touchdowns in the Browns' win last week, and they got a little bit of momentum. Johnny Football's playing better, but Pettine had to make a tough decision.
I thought Johnny did an outstanding job with his opportunity. He knows that there are some things that he needs to get cleaned up. Actually, the quarterback room knows that we need to be more protective of the football. But as I said before, very proud of him personally and professionally with the progress that he's made. Very positive thing for us. This is all very positive that we now feel that we have a backup that can come in, and he's already proven that he could move the team and make plays and win games for us.
So the Raiders are now set to take on a Cleveland Brown team that they lost to by 10 points last year. So you can't take them lightly. And as we've been saying on television, on radio, on this podcast, that the Raiders would have to start off the season and get ready for some physical play. Cincinnati and Baltimore back-to-back. The Raiders suffered some injuries. They knew those games were going to be physical. How hot was that game on Sunday in Oakland? Draining, hydration issues. And now the Raiders get set to go out on the road where they got to start winning games on the road. And this is not a walkover with Cleveland. They have really really good players on the defensive side. They have a mature offensive line, and the Raiders are going to have to bring their A game. We kick off the podcast this week with Latavius Murray, who joins us, the starting running back for the Silver and Black. And Latavius, let's begin going back to that win against the Ravens. How sweet was Jack Del Rio's speech postgame?
It was great, man. You know, just for him, just complimenting us on the grit we had and finishing and competing, you know, all the way to the very end there on that game-winning drive. And obviously the interception to steal it, man, it was great.
Well, everybody in the Raider Nation, you knew you needed a win. When the schedule came out, you had two playoff teams back-to-back. The Cincinnati game, you put in the rearview mirror. That was a really tough loss. The week of preparation for Baltimore, you knew you had another physical team that was coming in. You had 15 carries for 65 yards and a touchdown. How physical was that opponent in the Ravens?
It was very physical. And like you said, we knew that going into the game, so that's what we were preparing for all week, a physical battle, you know, just like the game was. So we answered the bell. That's the, you know, most important thing. But we knew going into it was going to be physical. And again, it was going to be a lot of fun and competing.
I thought the key to the game, Latavius, is two 10-point leads that were lost, but then after the Carr interception late, for Carr to go the length of the field to win the game, everybody from the offensive line came together. Talk about what that was like in the huddle as you were marching down in front of your home crowd in a game that you had to have.
I mean, going on the field, you know, we were confident that we were going to go down, whether, you know, it's the field goal we needed or go ahead. You know, this is something we rep, something we practice. So we knew we were prepared. It's just about executing. So, you know, we love when we get the opportunity to go win the game like that. It's what the offense should want.
Latavius Murray is our guest. When I saw you up in Napa in the preseason, it was an interesting time for you because you knew you were the starting running back of this team. How did that feel? Because we went through the McFadden era, and Darren got injured a lot and was a really good guy, and the fans knew he worked hard. He just couldn't stay healthy all the time. To know that it was your job, not to lose, but to have and to come into the season with fresh legs. Talk about the entire offseason training camp and how fresh you are going on the road to Cleveland.
Well, I feel great. You know, starting with the off season, you know, before in the training camp, I put some good work in, you know, training and back at home, you know, trying to just do the little things just to so I can become better, you know, and got to training camp and had a good training camp. Now I'm feeling good. This season, this first two games, I'm feeling good and feeling good going to Cleveland. I think the main thing for me is that I was just able to train the way I wanted to and just staying patient. And now it feels good to be the guy, and I'm working hard to make sure I stay there.
You know, Latavius, going back, I'm from Long Island, New York, and a lot of my buddies from Syracuse, and I knew about you at Onondaga Central High School in New York. You were the 2007 Gatorade Football Player of the Year in the state of New York. You were a three-sports star. Tell everybody your backstory on how you decided to go to UCF over schools like Syracuse, Boston College, Maryland. That was a huge decision, and it seemed to work out well for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to get away from home. You know, growing up in Syracuse, I knew I needed something different. And I also have some family down south in Orlando. So it really worked out for me. You know, I can't say it didn't. And I definitely enjoyed my time there. And it definitely helped me grow up, too, as a man, just going away from home, you know, early on that young.
You know, as we wrap it up with Latavius Murray, you get out of Syracuse, you got roots in Florida, and then in Oakland you had one of the hottest days of the year. Were you aware of that when you got to the stadium or days before at the new practice facility, the weather reports of it being that hot? What was it like on the sideline, especially you, a workhorse back, knowing that you had to stay hydrated coming out of halftime, especially in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, well, just even leading up to the game, you know you have to stay hydrated because they said it was going to be pretty warm. And getting up that morning and making sure I was drinking some extra fluids. But once you're out there working, it doesn't matter. That sweat's going to come out, you know what I mean? So you have to stay hydrated and continue to drink, just knowing that it's definitely going to be you know, a fight, and they're going to be tired too. So you just got to, you know, bring it.
You have the black hole in the Raider Nation. They have the dog pound in Cleveland. Raiders lost by 10 there last year in Cleveland, so I know they have your respect because last year a lot of Raider fans thought it was a winnable game, and the Browns got the best of you. Talk about how important it is to win a game, build momentum, and get a win on the road coming up here.
I mean, it's very important, and it's very hard to do, you know, to win on the road in this league. So, again, we're going to, you know, work hard and making sure we're improving this week in practice and going out there and competing this Sunday up in Cleveland and have fun doing it. And that's the most important thing for us.
Last question. How does it feel to be a fantasy guy when everybody's tweeting at you and wanting you on fantasy teams and knowing that you got to step up with them? They want big yards and big touchdowns out of you.
Yeah, they put the pressure on you. No, it's pretty cool. To be honest, I never was a fantasy guy, but now that's all I hear about is what I need to do for them to win. So it's fun, and I definitely try to make everyone who does have me happy.
Thanks for doing this, Latavius. All the best. Good luck getting a win in Cleveland.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks again to Latavius for joining us. Again, I'm out there. I'm saying he's having a big game. I said it already this week to Nicole at Raiders.com. He's got to have a big game on the ground. I'm thrilled to welcome our next guest, Browns insider for Northeast Ohio Media Group, Mary Kay Cabot, joins us on the official Raider podcast. And Mary Kay, after the announcement that Johnny Manziel will sit and Josh McCown will be the starter, does this feel like the classic quarterback controversy in your mind?
Well, I guess you could consider it to be one. I know a lot of the fans really support and love Johnny Manziel, especially after that exciting game where he threw the 50-yarder and the 60-yarder. But I actually think that this was the right decision. I think there are a lot of veterans in the locker room that would agree with that. And I don't think it's as controversial as it might seem from the outside looking in.
I would agree with you. I think it's a prudent move by Pettine, who was with McCown the entire offseason and through training camp and the preseason, and this was the plan. So you believe the coach when he says they're following a plan, and with DeFilippo, who was with the Raiders in the past, now on the offensive side calling the plays, it just seems like it's a stable move early in the season.
It really is. I mean, Josh was the uncontested starter all through the preseason. It's not like Johnny was even pressing him or pushing him. This was all about Johnny just kind of taking a back seat and learning the offense and kind of learning how to read a defense. And the thing that I noticed about Johnny in training camp, he was going through his progressions and you know, there was a method to his madness. He knew what he was doing, and it looked like he would, you know, point things out and change the protection and things like that. So he looked like a pro quarterback, but it was slow. So I think, you know, the speed of the game, I don't know if he's ready to make those decisions at the pace he will need to just yet.
Mary Kay, what did you see with McCown in the offseason and the preseason? He doesn't win often. It's not like this guy lights it up all the time. Who has the most confidence with him within the organization?
Well, you know what? I think that you can see that he can get the job done. The problem that I think he might have is they don't have a lot of playmakers on this team. And they really don't have a lot of big guys that can go up and catch the football down in the red zone or the end zone. Dwayne Bowe was kind of supposed to be that guy, but he's really been, he's been injured most of the offseason, the preseason with a hamstring, so he's not able to do it. Vince Mailey, they drafted him and ended up cutting him. He was a fourth-round guy. Terrell Pryor was a guy that you could send to do that kind of duty, but he was also cut. So they don't have a lot of big guys that can go up and catch the ball, and I think that Josh will, he will find out that that's an issue, and that might be the reason why he felt he had to run into the end zone or dive into the end zone against the Jets.
Let me jump in and ask you about Isaiah Crowell. Is he the type of guy that could be a featured back for the entire year, or is he a stopgap type of player that they're going to need down the road to mature a little bit more? He had a pretty good game against the Titans.
You know what? I actually kind of think that they wish that Duke Johnson was their featured back, but I don't know that he can just take that pounding, you know, every single down. So I do think that they probably have a pretty good plan where they can throw Isaiah in there a lot on, you know, first and second down, bring Duke in sometimes on third down, and then mix it up when they need to. I think they provide a good 1-2 punch. They bring different things to the table. And Isaiah really came through, broke some tackles, and did some hard running in the past game.
Yeah, this is a franchise that clearly, and Jim Brown, dating back to the 60s, wanted to run the football. And then when the weather got colder, still live and die by running the football. They've tried to evolve throughout the Bernie Kosar years. They've had some high-flying quarterbacks in the past who can throw it like Sipe. What do you think the vision is of this franchise? Is it just draft the best available player at any position? Or do you think they have a roadmap to the future where they want to have an identity long-term?
Well, you know what? That's a really great question because there's been so much turnover. You don't even know what the identity of the offense is. And I don't even think they know for sure what it is right now. I think John DeFilippo, you know, he's a new coordinator, and I think he's trying to, you know, sort of find his way and establish what he wants to be. I think he's a very creative offensive coordinator, and I think he would open it up and pass a lot. I think it's a misconception that, you know, they just want to pound the football. That's not John DeFilippo at all. I think he likes to take his shots downfield. I think he likes to try different things. I think he likes to throw the ball a lot. And I think he's got a lot of West Coast in him. So I think that the identity that he brings to the table is different than people thought that this offense was going to be. And I think you'll see it evolve as we go along here with Josh McCown.
They got a nasty defense, especially at the linebacker position with Paul Kruger and Dansby being there, and they can get after it. Mingo is one of the more physical players in the league, and then to have Joe Hayden at quarterback and Dante Whitner at strong safety, there's five or six starters on that defense who are legit. They got to feel pretty good hanging their hat on being a physical defense in the AFC North, right?
Yeah, I think so. That's the way it's shaping up to be. Now, in the Jets game, you know, it didn't look like that. It just wasn't working. But they really turned on the Jets, so to speak, when they got to Mariota last week against the Titans. And, it was just they swarmed him, and he just could barely get anything done in that game. They sacked him seven times. They forced him to fumble three times, and they really were an attack-minded defense last week, and I think you'll see more of that. I think they'll try to do the same thing against Derek Carr this week, but there are some horses on this defense that really can get the job done.
Mary Kay Cabot's our guest. Mary Kay, what's the perception of the Raiders coming into Cleveland? One of the fans saying and the media saying is the Raiders are trying to win their first road game in a while under Jack Del Rio as the new head coach.
Well, no, I'll tell you what, I'm very impressed with Derek Carr, and I think anybody around here is too. He was somebody that actually, when I had to do my first mock draft for NFL Network that year, I picked the Browns to take him number four overall. I really thought that, that he was going to be a good quarterback in the NFL, and I know they really did their due diligence on him, and they really liked him a lot, but they didn't seek to pick him. And, they passed him up twice, so... You know, he'll probably have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He's playing really well, and obviously he's got some weapons now, and I think that is so key that he has Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, and then you go to the other side of the ball, another guy that the Browns had an opportunity to draft in Khalil Mack, and, he's doing a great job, and I know that he's somebody that they will really be concerned about in this game. So I think they're good up front defensively. And now Derek Carr's got some things to work with. So, this will be a good battle.
Mary Kay, finally, last question. You mentioned Chip. What about the chip on the shoulders of this fan base that expected a championship already with LeBron James and probably will get one down the road? He's that great of a player. He's the best player in the sport. But are Browns fans looking a little bit closer at LeBron and it's taking the sting off of the Browns, or are the dog pounds still just locked into this team, into every game, do or die every Sunday, living with this team and hoping to see the glory years coming sooner than later?
Well, you know what? It's the latter. It's the, do or die dog pound, just focused 100% on these Cleveland Browns, and hope springs eternal here every year. People are so into it. And I think that's why I think a lot of the fans wanted Johnny Manziel to continue to start, because, they sat in that stadium and watched this 50-yard touchdown pass and this 60-yard touchdown pass. And, there was so much excitement. The place was rocking. But if you really analyze it, if you really look at it, Travis Benjamin came through and made some phenomenal plays. But down for down, it still seems like Johnny needs a little bit of time to try to get this figured out.
That's what it looks like to me also. Mary Kay, great talking to you again. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sounds good. My pleasure.
Thanks to Mary Kay for joining us. And now we wrap up the official Raider podcast with a four-time Super Bowl champ, the great Bill Romanowski. And Bill, I always tune in to watch you after the Raider games on Raiders Postgame Live on Comcast Sportsnet. I got to give you credit, Romo. You're one of the only guys who thought and were confident that the Raiders would beat Baltimore coming off the Cincinnati loss. Why were you so confident?
You know what? I just had a gut feeling, and a lot of it had to do to me. I made that determination because of the quarterback. The team took on the energy of Derek Carr when they played Cincinnati. He had a tough day, and guess what? The whole team had a tough day. They lost. He came out hot against Baltimore, and guess what? The entire team ignited. So, to me, the key for the Raiders is Derek Carr needs to get hot early.
Well, Romo, does that have a lot to do with Musgrave taking off the leash and attacking downfield? We saw a great performance not only by Cooper, but to see Crabtree show up. Two receivers go over 100 yards. Is that going to take away from Latavius Murray? Because certain games you want to run the ball to establish the pass, but to throw downfield seems to work with these young receivers.
You know, it does. You know what? In talking with Bill Musgrave, he really feels the offensive line, they're much better pass blockers than they are run blockers. So we clearly are a pass first, run second offense. And I think as we get going, the better we pass, the more yards we get, I tell you what, that's just going to open the gate for Latavius. And Latavius, I think, will start getting off and start getting more 100-yard games, you know, coming up this season. I think it's going to be an exciting year for this, young guy. And a lot of it is because of that passing game, because of how dynamic it is.
Bill Romanowski is our guest. Romo, you played on some of the toughest defenses of the modern era. You were a great player. We knew when the schedule came out, the first three games would be against the AFC North. Before we get to Cleveland, what is it like physically after you play back-to-back games against physical teams such as Cincinnati, Baltimore? There was some hydration issues. It was close to 100 degrees, if not more, on the field. How did the Raiders come out of that game physically and mentally after two really tough teams from the AFC North back-to-back?
Well, you know, that's kind of the mentality that Jack Del Rio brings. He brings a toughness to this Raider football team, and he wants to be physically dominant in the trenches. He wants tough guys that can handle those kind of brutal games, the intensity of those kind of games. So I like that mentality. When I got in the league, It was the NFC East that was kind of that way. Those were real physical teams, from the Cowboys to the Giants and the Redskins. And when you played them, you knew it was going to be physical. You knew you were going to hurt for 2 to 3 days afterwards, but you loved it, because there's nothing better for me, a linebacker, to play in a very physical and violent game.
Romo, you know there's some holes on defense because of new chemistry and injuries. Take us behind the scenes when you were on teams where you were the leader, but guys were hurt. You had to put new players in behind you in the secondary. What message does Del Rio and Ken Norton Jr. need to send to these young players here? Because you got to win these games, back-to-back games at Cleveland and Chicago against teams that you're supposed to beat, but clearly the Raiders don't have a lot of experience sprinkled all over that defense.
Well, you know, we always had the mentality of the great teams I was on, the 49ers and the Broncos, and even, you know, when I was at the Raiders in 2002, the mentality was, if a guy is down, the next guy's got to come in and play as good, if not better. It's pretty unrealistic for that to happen. It doesn't always happen, but you always have to pick it up for those young guys coming in. It always seemed like we played harder when you had a guy come in. And for, and I remember in San Francisco, if Ronnie Lott was down and Tom Homo came in, hey, we weren't as good, but guess what? We all picked it up, and we ended up playing great defense still. So, hey, they got the win. That's what I like. And they won without Nate Allen. They got to do it again for the next couple weeks, and then they got a big opponent with Denver.
Romo, you're around the organization all the time. We sit together with the owner. I see you on the sideline. What message would you send to Khalil Mack? Because clearly they're scheming against him. They're chipping him at the line of scrimmage. We don't see those massive production numbers early on, but he seems to get really close to the quarterback, and he was frustrating Flacco late in that game in that Raider victory.
He was. You know, mentality to me has got to be keep coming. You know, relentless. Don't stop, because the sacks are going to come. With our offense getting dynamic and scoring points the way it did against Baltimore, that means teams are going to have to throw the football against us, and that means there's going to be a lot more opportunities for sacks. We also need Alden to pick it up on his side. And once he does, and once he gets back into – you know, game shape, the two of them coming off the edge, you're going to have to pick, you know, pick your poison. Are we going to turn the line to Alden, or are we going to turn it to Khalil? What are we going to do? That's not an easy decision. So one or the other is going to get free.
Romo, were you surprised that Mike Pettine in Cleveland decided to sit Johnny Manziel and go with Josh McCown? He's a veteran, but Manziel looked pretty good in those two bomb touchdowns last week as the Browns got their first win. What do you think was behind that decision in the matchup against the Raiders?
Well, we don't see what goes on in practice, but I will say this. I'm happy about the decision, because I think that gives the Raiders a better chance to win. I really do. There's something magical about Manziel. I don't care what anybody says. He's got it factor, and now he's clean. So, hey, if McCown goes down, then guess what? We're going to have to face Manziel. But I'm happy about this, and I think we have a better chance of winning.
We're wrapping it up with Bill Romanowski. Romo, you know this organization, but you also know the league. What's the perception of the Raiders since last season, and what should the Raider fans who are listening to this think of going forward with this team getting to 8, 9, 10 wins? How long, in your opinion, is it going to take?
You know what? I think it can happen this year. I really do. And it really comes down to this. A group of guys in that locker room deciding they want to be really good. And when that group of men decides, then guess what? You go out, you compete on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you open up a can of whoop-ass on Sunday. And that is, like I said, when that comes together and you have that feeling where you just know you're going to win a football game if you play your game, there's no better feeling. I think the Raiders got a taste of that playing a really good football team in Baltimore. Now you got to go on the road and you got to get one against a team that in the beginning of the year, when you looked at the schedule, you're like, okay, we can beat Cleveland. Boom. We can beat Chicago. Hey, Denver's going to be a war. I know that, but you got to beat the teams that you know you can take advantage of. This is one of those must-win games, and you got to go out there. And like I said, at the end of the day, it's a group of men deciding they want to be really good. And I think they're starting to get that taste in their mouth, and we're going to have an exciting season.
Romo, you worked for Al Davis. Now you know Mark Davis, and you're getting to know him better. What similarities do you like between father and son? And considering Mark is juggling a lot of balls with Oakland, Los Angeles, trying to get a deal done in Oakland, personnel, the issues, they upgraded the facility in Alameda. When you do talk to Mark Davis, what encourages you about him as a young owner in this league?
Mark Davis wants to win. And that's, you know, if you talk about similarities between he and Al, Al was more relentless about it. And I think Mark, you know, brings a lot more thought to it, and he's doing it a different way. He knows his strengths are not, you know, the football side and really getting down and watching film. He's more of a business guy. He knows more of what he doesn't know, and that enables him to hire good people to go out there and do their job. And he handles bigger issues like getting the organization built to last and win over time, getting a stadium, this new performance center that he just put in, you know, all the upgrades in the building. He's sending a message to the players that we're going to be good. We're going to be great. I'm going to give you what you need to go out there and perform. And that's the commonality. They both wanted to win, Al and Mark. Mark is just going about it in a different, methodical, more thoughtful way.
Romo, as we wrap it up, tell everybody in the Raider Nation how you can make them feel more healthy. I have Nutrition53.com in front of me, and I think everyone wants to have a new, leaner body, and you can make it happen.
Well, it's all about getting – it's all about being lean like you just brought up. And I kind of say, hey, let's be lean and mean. And I developed Lean One with world-class scientists, nutritionists, and doctors, and what it does is helps people lose weight naturally by drinking a shake with 20 grams of protein, 17 fruits and vegetables, 27 vitamins and minerals, and green coffee bean extract, which helps melt body fat off of you. So, hey, lose up to 10 pounds in 2 weeks with Lean One. And I'm excited about changing the world one person at a time, helping people get healthier, happier, and more productive.
Romo, thanks for doing this. You're a powerful voice, a voice in the Raider Nation. We appreciate your time. I'll see you soon on the sideline.
Thank you.
There he is. Bill Romanowski, everybody, on the official Raider podcast. Romo's unbelievable, and he's one of the few guys out there who've been saying it in the Bay Area on Comcast that the Raiders would beat Baltimore, and then they'd start to build momentum and keep winning. Thanks to Romo for joining us. Next week, we get you ready for the Chicago Bears. I'm on the road with the Raiders to Chicago, the Windy City. Hopefully, the Raiders pick up another win and get an opportunity to build momentum on the road. Thanks for listening to the official Raider podcast at Raiders.com. And iTunes, and follow me on Twitter at JT the Brick. We'll talk to you next week from Chicago.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.